And that is the kind of things that I want to talk about and begin with this morning as we look at these things. I'd like to begin with a trivia question, if you will. Does anybody know who these folks are? Anybody have any idea who these 10 guys are? If you're not sure, what if I add two more names to that list? Maybe this will help. And that gives you some idea of who these other 10 guys are. I see some people understand yet. Absolutely. These are those 10 guys, those 10 spies who were faithless, who brought back a bad report from the people to the people of God. In fact, the Numbers 32, and Numbers 32 and verse 12, and the text is kind of gray there. We'll see if that fixes itself. Numbers 32 and verse 12 there, the text tells us that none except Caleb and Joshua have wholly followed the Lord. After spying out the land for 40 days, the spies came back to tell Israel what they had seen. And this was, you should know, a good news, bad news kind of scenario here, circumstance here. The good news was the land was everything that God said it would be and more. It was an amazing and wonderful land, exactly the kind of land that you would always want to live in. But it was also a land that was inhabited by strong peoples and fortified cities and warrior tribes. And that would make, these 10 spies said, taking the land absolutely impossible. Joshua and Caleb said, "Are you kidding me? We're going in. This is going to work. We're taking it. With God's help, we can do it. Let's get busy and do it." And I believe all of us want to be like Joshua and Caleb. We want to be like what's described there in Numbers 32 and 12. We want to wholly follow the Lord. We don't want to be like those faithless guys. Instead, what we'd really like is to have the kind of faith that Joshua and Caleb offered, the kind of faith that dominated their lives. But how do you do that, though? How do you do that? And what does it even mean to have faith? That's such a religious term. What does it mean to walk by faith? That sounds like something people say only in church. What does that really mean? What's really going on there? And when everybody else is saying no, how do you, by faith, say yes? I want to know more about Joshua and Caleb's faith. I want a big chunk of what they have. I want the faith of Joshua and Caleb, a faith that wholly follows the Lord. To get some of that, let's just get right over there in Numbers 13. In Numbers 13, we'll see here what's going on here. Numbers 13, let's just see how this faith works. Let's read a little bit of the story here. I apologize. That may not be showing up too good. In Numbers 13, though, we can turn in our Bibles and see this. In Numbers 13 and verse 31, notice here how this faith works. Numbers 13 and 31, there we read, Numbers 13 and 31, "Then the men who had gone up with them said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are.' So they brought the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out. 'The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. No chance, no way, no how.'" And of course, bad news, well, bad news always has a way of spreading like wildfire. Look in chapter 14, going on there, in verse 1. Chapter 14 and verse 1. It says there, chapter 14 and verse 1, "Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to one another, 'Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, 'The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He'll bring us to the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are
They are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.
Joshua and Caleb make an appeal here to trust in God. And I really like that word, trust, there. I think that that is a word that we use, I think, maybe much more common in our everyday life. We don't often say, I have faith in you. But we do say things like, I don't trust her. She isn't trustworthy. We understand about trust. And as I'm talking about faith, I am talking about trust. That is what this is all about. In fact, I love the psalmist here in Psalm 56 as he talks about how and tells us how wonderfully and explains how wonderful this is and how wonderful faith and what it's all about. He says there in verse 3, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? We understand about trust. And I hope that means then that we understand about faith. Now, where did Caleb and Joshua get that kind of trust? Why did they trust in God when nobody else was trusting in God? Well, this morning I want to suggest a couple of things about that. First and foremost, let me say that I believe that that kind of trust, that kind of faith comes by watching God at work. That's what Joshua and Caleb had been doing. They'd watched God make promises and then deliver on those promises every single time. God told them, for example, that He would deliver them from the Egyptian slavery. That seemed impossible. Egypt was the most advanced civilization on the earth at that time, and they were a nation of hopeless and helpless slaves. That's just not going to happen. You're not going to overcome that. But in fact, they did. In fact, 10 plagues came along, and God did exactly as He said He would do. And then they go over to the Red Sea, and that seems impossible. The mighty army of the Egyptians had arrived to kill and decimate them. And yet God said that they would go across on dry ground and that they would never see the army of the Egyptians again. And what happened? The sea was cleft apart. They did go across, and the Egyptian army was drowned. God promised, and God did exactly like He said He would do. And God promised them that He would bring them to the mountain of Sinai so that they could worship Him. And guess what? They went to Sinai. They worshiped. God promised and God did. God promised and did what He said He would do. God promised provisions and manna and water in the wilderness. God did as He said He would do. Over and over again, Joshua and Caleb had watched God say and then seen God do. In fact, back in Numbers 14, you can just see this in what they try to say to bring the people back to God, to bring the people around to trust in God, try to help people have faith in God. You can see they absolutely believe in the Lord here. Notice there in verse 9, it says, do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. And that's an unusual expression there. They are bread for us. That's what my translation has there. I'm reading from the ESV version here, English Standard Version. That's what I have there. You may be looking at that verse and see something different there. Maybe you have this version. They will be our prey there. Or I really like this translation here. It says, we will devour them. We'll eat them up. That's exactly what Joshua and Caleb mean. We have seen God at work. And we know what's going to happen if we go and battle these people. We'll mop the floor with them. We'll cream them. We'll stomp them. We're going to eat them up. Because we've seen the Lord, and we know that God can do and what He can do, and that God promises, God comes through every time. Joshua and Caleb had watched God at work, and it built their faith. It caused them to trust in the Lord. I want to suggest to you this morning that we can do exactly the same thing. That's one of the purposes of the Bible. In fact, in Romans 15, we'll go back to Numbers 14. In Romans 15, Paul says, talks about the Old Testament scriptures here and what they are good for and why we read them and that they should cause and generate in our lives. He says in verse 4 that whatever things were written in former days were written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Paul tells us the scriptures build in us confidence. They give us hope. They help us to persevere. They help us trust God. And we get to, just like Joshua and Caleb, we get to watch God work. I open my Bible and I read about those Egyptian plagues. And I open my Bible and I get to read about the Red Sea crossing. And then not only do I get to read about the things that Joshua and Caleb saw and witnessed, I get to read about a whole lot of other stuff that they never saw. Like an Israeli shepherd boy with a slingshot who fells a Philistine bully. I get to meet giants of faith like Elijah and Isaiah and Daniel. And over again, I get to watch God say, and then I get to see God do exactly as He says. And that even goes on in the New Testament. Think about the work of God that we see there. I get to see the Lord send an angel to deliver Peter from prison. See the Lord shake a Philippian jail so that Paul and Silas will be released in the same hour of the night. Over and over again, God says, watch this. And then we get to look and see, does God do as He says He would do? Is God trustworthy? Here's the question of the morning. You're reading your Bible. Are you reading your Bible to build faith? Are you reading your Bible so that's what's happening in your life? Are you looking at the Bible and saying, I want to see what God's doing? And I want to build faith. I want to see that God is trustworthy, that He is dependable, that He does as He says. Are you letting those stories in the Bible build in you the kind of faith that Joshua and Caleb had? And more than just reading in the Bible, I want to encourage you to look in your own life. To look in your own life and see the work of God and how God has done and helped and saved and delivered so that you'll have the so that you'll have faith in the Lord. We pray and we ask God for healing and for help. We pray and we ask God about our job or about this promotion. We pray for our children to do well in school and to be able to say no to peer pressure and all the challenges that they face. We're always praying. Let me ask you, when we get on the other side of the trouble that we're praying about, what do we do then? We pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, I handled that pretty well by myself, didn't I? Whew, that was great. Do we say to the doctors, well, you did a great job. I don't know how you did that. I'm just glad you did that. That was amazing. Or on the other side of the trouble, do we look down that trail of our lives and through the eye of faith say, God, You're amazing. You did that. You're awesome. You blessed. You came through. God, I trust You. That's what Joshua and Caleb did. And that caused them to have strong faith when everyone else was bailing out on the Lord. I want to suggest to you as well, back in Numbers 13, I want you to suggest that Joshua and Caleb's faith gave them a realistic but very optimistic outlook. Look back at Numbers 13. When this bad report circulated, notice there in verse 30, Caleb, it says there, Numbers 13, verse 30, Caleb quieted the people of God, the people before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are able to overcome it. Now the text here kind of focuses on Caleb, but I can just see in my mind, I can see Joshua standing beside him, motioning for quiet, nodding his head up and down, agreeing with Caleb there. Caleb says, we're going to do this. Let's go pack up, man, right now. And you know, Joshua is right there saying, yeah, let's do it. Amen. Absolutely. They had faith, complete trust in God. And what I want you to see, it was a very realistic kind of faith. They are well aware of the obstacles in the land. They get it. They saw the giants. They saw the challenges of the land. They don't say that there's nothing there. They just say, with God's help, we're able to overcome it. In fact, if you look further there in that we read in verse 9, did you notice what he says there? He says, do not fear the people of the land. And then he says again at the end of that text, do not fear them. Yeah, there are people in the land. And yeah, there are formidable people in the land. Formidable. And we are, though, with God's help, we're going to clean them out. And I want you to understand this morning that Joshua and Caleb, they walked by faith. They lived by faith. They had trust in God. But that did not mean that somehow because they had faith that they were unreasonable or foolish. I want to stress that this morning. Because I'm afraid somehow walking by faith, being a person of faith, has come in our society to mean that I'm kind of clueless. You know, my head's up in the clouds. I don't really know what's really going on or what's going to happen. I'm kind of ignoring reality. But somehow, because I have faith, I think that means that I'm going to be okay. I'll give you an illustration of this. There's a well-known denominational preacher that's making the rounds these days, Francis Chan. He preaches for a mega church in California. And he recently told his congregation that he was leaving at that time. Told them he was going, packing up, leaving. And that kind of caused the question, well, where are you going? And his answer was, we don't know. Don't know where we're going. We're leaving. We don't really know where we're going to go. Mr. Chan said the following about that, speaking for himself and his wife here. He says, Lisa and I believe God is calling us to take a step of faith. We believe we are supposed to move into a major city such as L.A., San Francisco, or New York. I'm still not completely sure of everything, but it feels great to be living by faith. That's it. I think that's the kind of language that sets the agenda for a lot of folks today. Living by faith means that I'm not sure. I may be doing something completely unreasonable and strange, but I'm telling you, that's what it's all about. If you're really going to be a person who lives by faith, if I live by faith and I do something crazy like Francis Chan's doing, maybe I suddenly quit my job, become a missionary to the penguins and all their friends of Antarctica. I don't know. But if I'm really living by faith, then I'll do something daring or out of control or uncertain or even kind of weird. Here I am, living an ordinary life, going to work, raising kids, paying bills. I guess I'm not really living by faith. I think you can't find that in any shape, form, or fashion in what Joshua and Caleb are doing. Now, to be sure, there are times when God has said and told people to do some pretty edgy stuff. God told Abraham to pack up, move to Canaan. God told Joshua and the people of Israel march around Jericho. One time every day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day. And that's not exactly standard military tactics. God has certainly told people sometimes to do some things that other folks would have said, that's weird, that's different. But I want you to think about that. When God's people are told to do that, that's exactly how that works. They're told directly by God to do that. Those stories in the Bible feature a direct appearance by the Lord. He speaks. Or he has someone that comes and speaks and he tells and he appears and he says, this is what I want you to do. Doing something crazy is kind of out of the norm for people of God. And so when God tells people that God wants them to do something like that, he just tells them very directly, this is going to be weird. This is going to be out of the ordinary. It's going to be strange. And that's why I'm here telling you, this is what I want you to do. People in the Bible don't do wacky stuff all on their own. And then God blesses it and says, wow, that was amazing. I wish I had thought of that. That's not how that works at all. God wants you to do something like that, like marry a harlot or sacrifice your only son Isaac. Well, he'll tell you to do that. And of course, I should probably add here that since God is no longer speaking directly to people, choosing now to communicate through the written word, you and I probably don't need to worry about doing what Joshua and Caleb did. Exactly. Or being like Abraham and sacrificing our son. We're just going to walk by faith. We're going to do what God tells us to do. God is not directly appearing to us today and telling us to do something that's out of the ordinary from here. God's not going to tell us to do something that's unreasonable or foolish. Joshua and Caleb, no different. They'd seen God work. They'd seen God defeat the armies of the Egyptians. They'd seen God defeat the armies of the Amalekites who had attacked them along the way. They knew what God could do. So for Joshua and Caleb, this wasn't some sort of pie in the sky, completely ignore reality sort of thing. What living by faith meant for Joshua and Caleb, what trusting God meant, was instead of ignoring problems, they would address them from God's viewpoint, which gave them optimism. I want to say that again. Instead of ignoring problems, being divorced from reality, they viewed problems from God's viewpoint. And that gave them optimism. They knew they could do it. And that may be sometimes where we struggle a little bit. Because sometimes we say things like, I just can't do it. I can't go on any longer. I just can't keep on. There's no way. I'm just going to have to quit. We see the problems, but sometimes we don't have the faith of Joshua and Caleb. So we would look at our problems through the lenses of faith. So that those problems and how we view them would be changed because we trust God that with God's help, we can do this. Notice in our text, in Numbers 14 and verse 8, he says there, Numbers 14 and verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. We tried to go on our own. That's not going to work. But if God goes with us, we can do this. Because we have faith in God, Joshua and Caleb say, this story is not over with yet. Our trust means we have confidence. Confidence in what God can do in and through us. That's what faith is all about. That's what living by faith is all about. Realism, tempered with the optimism that comes with seeing problems from God's vantage point and from knowing what God can do. Well, that leads then to this final point. And that is living by faith, walking in faith, trusting in God meant doing what God said. Joshua and Caleb wanted to obey the Lord. The spies were chosen, and the spies went and took a look. And the spies came home, and the spies gave two very different kinds of reports. And now was the time to choose. Are you going to do what God says, or are you going to do what men say? God says, go take the land. Men say, we can't do it. God says, with my help, I will fight for you. And you absolutely can do that. Go, take the land. 10 men say, stay, we can't do it. Go back to Egypt. What you going to do? For Joshua and Caleb, of course, there was never any question. No doubt, walking by faith, going forward to obey God. Back in the text, in Numbers 32 we began with, Numbers 32 and verse 12, the language here is so strong. Joshua and Caleb will enter the land of Canaan. Why? Why? Because they have wholly followed the Lord. What does that mean? What's that mean, to wholly follow the Lord? That means they obeyed God. That's what that meant. And I certainly don't mean to oversimplify, but so often we act like faith, especially walking by faith, is some kind of esoteric or mysterious sort of thing that very few people ever master. It involves being deeply spiritual, kind of weird, a little mystical. I doubt seriously if anyone ever would ascribe to these two warriors, Joshua and Caleb, as being mystical or weird. What walking by faith meant for them was, we're going to do what the Lord tells us to do. Period. We'll obey God. End of discussion. And it meant, please note this, we'll obey God in the face of considerable opposition. If you look back in the text there, in Numbers 14 and verse 10. In verse 10 it says, they said, the people say, we're going back to Egypt. We are. Let's choose us a leader. Let's go back to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron, they're falling on their faces. Joshua and Caleb speak here the language of faith. And the people do what? They pick up rocks there. Verse 10, all the congregation said to stone them with stones, it says. People were going to stone Joshua and Caleb. Their lives are threatened because of their stance for obeying God. We will do what God wants to do, and your opposition to that will not be used as an excuse for disobedience. We are interested, verse 8, in the Lord delighting in us. That's what matters first. Pleasing God is most important. We must do what God tells us to do. That's what walking by faith meant. We obey God. And we are going to do that, Joshua and Caleb said. We're going to do that when we feel like it. And we're going to do that when we don't feel like it. And we're going to obey God when others aren't obeying God. And we're going to obey God when others are not obeying God. And when they are obeying God, we trust God. We believe God. And that means we must do what the Lord says. And that is an attitude, I tell you, is so desperately needed today. My faith will cause me to obey. All too often, I'm afraid, that discussion, I think, has been limited to the area of faith only, salvation. We talk to people about being saved, and we find that they have not been saved, that they have not been baptized because of their sins. And we're talking about what? Your faith has to drive you to do something in order to be saved. And that, of course, is exactly correct. James 2 and 24, host of a lot of verses, say exactly that. You have to do that. But what I want to ask you this morning, though, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, what I'd like to ask you this morning is, what is your faith driving you to do now, now that you are out of the waters of baptism and you've dried off? What are you doing now because you trust God? How are you obeying the Lord now because you believe God? Walking by faith means I do what God wants me to do. And that would translate into reading my Bible on a regular basis, being involved in prayer, holding myself away from the temptations of this world, that I do not join in the ungodliness that is all around me. Because I believe in God. Because I trust in Him. I will do what He says. That means I will serve others. That I will be a different kind of husband than the world says a husband ought to be. Be a different kind of wife. Be a different kind of child. Be a different kind of parent. Be a different kind of employee. I will obey God because I am walking by faith. And walking by faith means obedience. Faith changes us. So when the crowd says, we can't do it, we can't go on, we're stuck right here, people who trust in God keep moving forward. And that's what Joshua and Caleb's faith meant in Numbers 13 and 14. We obey the Lord. That's precisely what it means today. You know, I began this morning with a list of 10 names here that I think nobody recognizes. I don't think I can even pronounce those names correctly. And you know what happened to those 10 guys? In Numbers 14 and verse 36, we meet these 10 guys yet again. These men who had discouraged the hearts of Israel and delayed the taking of the promised land by 40 years. Notice what's said there, Numbers 14 and 36. And the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing up a bad report about the land, the men who had brought up a bad report of the land, died by plague before the Lord. They refused to live in faith, and so they died in unbelief. What about you and me? Can we do better? I'm challenging you this morning to watch the Lord at work, both in our Bibles and in our lives. Let God's faithfulness to His promises deepen our trust in Him. Let's give up ideas that walking by faith means doing something that I have to think of the most strangest thing that I can possibly do, the most odd thing that I can possibly do. Instead, let faith cause us to see the world realistically and even optimistically so that we can then obey the Lord. I tell you, if Joshua and Caleb can do it, then you and I can do it too. Let's pray about that. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear, most wonderful Heavenly Father, we come thanking You for all that You have given us, all that we have, Father. We thank You for the blessing of Your Word, that You have given us the instructions on how to live our lives, examples of faith to encourage us and to help us to live in the way that is so well-pleasing to You. We thank You this morning, Father, for Joshua and Caleb, for their determination to do what was right, to walk in Your ways, to not to be discouraged by the people, to give in to their pressure, to say like them in unbelief, let us go back. We pray, Father, for their faith. We pray to have that kind of determination, that no matter the odds, no matter what we're faced against, Father, that we'll always put You first, that we'll trust in Your ways, that no matter what happens to us here, Father, no matter the temptations that surround us or the problems that come up, Father, that we will always look to You, and that we will always go in Your ways, that we'll seek You first, and we'll move forward always. Bless the congregation here, Father. Help them as they continue to try to be a light in this community and to do good things and to live that kind of life. Be with us all always. Help us and forgive us from any sins. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. That's where we're headed in this series. If we look at faith moving forward like Joshua and Caleb moved forward, they got to go to the promised land. And you and I, if we let faith move forward, we also have a promised land that we await to go to. And that's really what we're going to talk about as we address these things. This morning and for our worship hour here, we're going to talk about the idea of being average. Is being an average Christian good? And we're going to talk about that, and you should understand that striving for mediocrity is never good. And so we're going to see that this morning. And then tonight, we're going to talk about an issue that troubles a lot of people. that here I am trying to live a good life. And I'm trying to live like God tells me to live, and I'm obeying Him. But still, some things just don't work out. Why is it that bad things still happen to good people? Why does that happen? And when that happens and that challenges our faith, a lot of people lose their faith. God's let me down. I've done what I was supposed to do. I obey Him. I go to church. I pray when things happen. But yet, still I'm let down by God. What should I do when God has let me down? So I want to talk about that tonight. And the Lord willing, Monday we'll begin talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. That must be our goal and our strife always. And then Tuesday, we're going to see how Satan doesn't want us to live this way. We are his prime targets. And we need to make sure that we are aware of his traps and make sure that we can avoid his trap and the kinds of things that he tries to ensnare us with. And then Wednesday, you know, we're trying to live right and do right. We're trying to encourage others. Maybe I have a family member, or maybe there's someone here that we know that's weak. We try to encourage them, but they never strengthen. We invite our friends and coworkers to come and to study with us. They never want to study with us. We see everyone living around us doing what they want to do, living the life that they want to live, and here I am trying to live the way that God wants me to live. Why do I even bother? Why should I even bother trying and doing this? We'll talk about that Wednesday. Thursday, we're going to learn from those three men there. Do we know who those three men are? We'll find out on Thursday there, Hannah, Mishael, and Azariah. And then Friday, just simply more ready to go. We're moving faith moving forward. Where's it going to? Are we ready? Are we ready for that day? And so I encourage you this week as we study these things to keep your Bibles open and to ask questions and to think about these things and invite others to come and to hear these things as we talk about this this week.